Thank you, Rich and Ann. Appreciate you guys. And thank you all for being here. I'm excited to be here. My name is Tim Dutzman, and I have the honor and privilege of serving as one of the associate pastors here at Grace Point. And I also have the honor and privilege of serving on staff with Minding the Gap in the work that we are doing in South Kansas City. And I thought that as part of my way of introducing Zach and his presentation about what Minding the Gap is doing, I thought it would be appropriate to set a little bit of a context, set a little bit of a biblical framework for why we do what we do and how we do it. And what better way to do that than start off with an embarrassing story, am I right? And so before I came here, I served as an electrician in Dallas, Texas for the Baylor Hospital System. I was a journeyman electrician for many years, and I got that licensing as a journeyman electrician at a very young age. And that is cool, but it also caused a lot of insecurity as I was around a lot of older guys with a lot more experience, and I was looked down on sometimes, and I was a pretty nervous guy in general at that time. And this was in addition to some insecurity that I also had just around my life in Christ. I was a new believer, and I was extremely excited about how I had been pulled out of darkness and brought into the kingdom, and I wanted to do big things for God. I wanted to travel the world. I wanted to see people saved and churches planted. And I had this idea in my mind that I had to do something big. I was so grateful for what had happened to me. I wanted to do something big for God in return. I was frustrated, though, because any door towards that was shut for the moment. And I decided, well, then if I can't do something big for God by traveling the world, then I'm going to make a name for myself in Dallas by serving as the best journeyman electrician that ever existed on the planet. And little did I know how easy it would actually be to make a name for myself in those beginning days. I was working on a project in the hospital, and it required very careful actions as we worked on the electrical systems near the emergency room. And I had traced out this circuit that we were supposed to be working on and thought I knew where it was going. And I went to the panel and I shut off the breaker, and utter mayhem ensued. And just a little bit of education around how electrical systems work. Circuits are supposed to stay pretty contained, and they're supposed to be labeled well. You're supposed to be able to see where they go. But electricians get lazy sometimes, and they just start adding things on and adding things on and adding things on and so on and so on. And what I didn't realize is that with one flip of a breaker, that very small action shut off half of the emergency room, and everybody went crazy. The worst part is I didn't know, because I was off in my own little room doing my own little thing, and so minute by minute passed by with, now I imagine it, people bleeding on the floor and people, you know, going crazy all over the place. All of their computers were shut off. There was no way to process the patients coming in. And I went in 1 second from being the nobody electrician to the most wanted man in Baylor Scott and White Hospitals. They eventually found me, and I almost lost my job. Thankfully, I didn't, but I still remember that verbal beating. So why am I telling you this? That's a great question. Why am I telling you this? As horrible of an experience as that was, I learned something that day. And even as I was remembering that story this week, the Lord brought it to mind as an application for what we're going to be talking about. And that is how small actions can produce big change. Small actions can produce big change. We see this in many aspects of life, both positive and negative, like the story that I shared with you. But we see it in positive ways also, how a very small rudder can steer a large ship. A small supplement or vitamin can drastically impact the body. We see how, as Zach is going to talk about in a little bit, how a light can dramatically impact a dark room. One small candle can change the entire environment of a room and make it feel well lit. The same concept applies to our life with God in the building of his kingdom on earth. And it can go directly against what we are tempted to think sometimes. Like in my case, I was tempted to think that to serve God, to do something for him, to partner with him, it had to be something big. And it's just simply not the case. And I don't know about you guys. Have you ever felt that temptation? Have you ever felt the temptation to think that you are limited in it and that you cannot partner with what God is doing on the earth because you have a full-time job or you're a mother of many children or maybe you're handicapped or maybe you have, you know, this, that, and the other going on in your life? I would first encourage you with the truth that regardless of your calling and whatever you are occupied in, that is valuable to the Lord as long as it's done to the Lord. It's not lesser than. But at the same time, for those who are longing to give more, for those who want to play a part, and like the widow in the story of the widow's mite, they have only something, what they feel is small, to offer, I would say that you don't have to go overseas to see salvations. And you don't have to be a church planter to see radical transformation happen in a society. And the best part is, it's your society. If you're here, it's your community. I also would encourage those and ask of those who maybe are sitting on the sidelines, maybe thinking, you know what, it's not that I don't feel I have something to offer, I just don't want to offer anything. I would encourage you with this truth that you are needed, that every person in the body of Christ is needed, and we all have a part to play in the building of God's kingdom on earth. What if I told you that something as simple as 1 hour a week with one child could dramatically change the trajectory of that child and that family's life and then their lineage after them? I'm not telling you guys anything that you don't already know. I'm doing what the Apostle Peter calls, hopefully, stirring you up by way of reminder. You guys know this. This is common sense. It's obvious, right? Well, friends, we have an opportunity to hear about an open door that God has placed in our own backyard to do just this. And it's through Minding the Gap. And I'm going to call up Zach here in just a little bit, but before I do, I want to give a biblical perspective of what this could look like from Acts chapter 9. And so if you'll turn with me, if you feel like it, you can turn with me to Acts chapter 9, and we're just going to look at verse 36 through 43 about a woman named Tabitha. And it says here in that first verse, verse 36, "Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha," which translated means Dorcas, "and she was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, urging him, 'Please come to us without delay.' So Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Tabitha had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and he prayed. And turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up and he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon a tanner." So what is happening here in the story? I'll just go back to the beginning there. What is Tabitha called? She's called a disciple, right? I don't know about you, but from time to time in the past, I've thought of disciple as one of the 12, you know, one of the big followers, the big name guys that goes and does the church planting and the overseas missions. She's called a disciple. And her good works are what? Making garments, making tunics, caring for the poor. I find it humorous, actually, the NASB has a little footnote that includes the word undergarments, okay? Her mission was to make underwear, okay? She was the disciple of undergarments. And what was the result of those acts of service? It wasn't those acts of service themselves that caused everybody to hear about what was happening. That was the Lord, that was him orchestrating the story and him raising her from the dead. But I find it amazing that he used her, he used this story, her small acts of love that led to big change, her small contribution of obedience and compassion, which by the way is one of our four main characteristics that we hold to in this church, compassion. It was that compassion that God then used to make a name for himself, and an entire city hears and believes. Now, when I think about this, I think, I wonder if Tabitha knew what that outcome was going to be like. I wonder if she, like me, with the flipping of the breaker, I wonder if she was totally unaware of what was about to happen. And my guess is yes. My guess is she probably had no idea that she was about to die and be raised from the dead and that she would become famously known as the disciple of tunics. But it happened, and it was amazing. I think of another woman who probably had no idea what she was doing. About 50 years ago in the small town of Yale, Michigan, population 1900, middle of nowhere, nobody knows about it. And this woman decided one day to cross a road and reach out to an impoverished family, knock on the door and invite the kids to a little VBS that her tiny church was holding that week. And she organized transportation, got the kids there, the children became saved, the children then brought Jesus back to their home, the mother gets saved. Then a few years later, the father, their family begins to turn around. That family becomes missionaries in the farthest reaches of the earth, Ireland and Barcelona, Spain and Vietnam and many different places like this. Their grandchildren grow up knowing the Lord. Five children, dozens of grandchildren, contributors to society. That family is my family. That woman came across the street and spoke to my mother. And every time that my family gathers for a reunion, we often talk about her. We think about what would have happened if she had not crossed that road that day. What would have happened if she hadn't taken that small act, that small step of faith? And I can't answer that. I suppose God has, you know, many ways to reach people. But it's amazing that she got to play the part in the story that produced so much. And we have an opportunity to do the same. And so I'm going to call Zach up now and ask him to come and just give a presentation about what Mining the Gap is, how it works, the open door that's in front of us for us to reach our society and our communities here, right here and right now, in a very simple way. Zach has been leading Mining the Gap. He's the director and founder of it. Him and his wife, Holly, they've been leading it since 2020. We've been serving with them since about that time, and we are just so grateful for the opportunity to do what we do. So thank you.
Amen. Who loves Tim Dutzman? Like a quarter of you, who loves Tim Dutzman? Come on. Oh my gosh. You guys are so fortunate to have him be a part of this church. Hopefully you're getting to know him and his family a little bit better, and over the next couple of years, you guys are going to love and appreciate them almost as much as me and my family does. So I promise to be fairly brief this morning, because what we want to do is bring up people who you know and love, people of your own congregation who have been a part of Mining the Gap over the years. I am familiar and know a lot of familiar faces in here. And a lot of you know kind of what Mining the Gap does. But for those who don't, I'm just going to give probably a 10-minute overview of the basic things that we do. But I also think it's important for us to walk away. If you're not called to Mining the Gap or what you're hearing today, that is totally fine. Everybody is called to an individual calling, and certain ministries speak to your heart, and that is awesome. So I want this message to be applicable, that you're going to hear about what we're doing and what's happening in the schools. We want you to be encouraged that God is on the move. However, we want every single person to walk out of here, whether you're called to minister with us or not, to walk out and to be encouraged and with something that you can actually apply to your life. So if we can go to the next slide, the scripture that I wanted to point out today is in Matthew chapter 5, and it's 14 through 16, but I'm just going to sum it up here. It says, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God your Father who is in heaven." So every single one of us is called to be a light. So can I be Pentecostal this morning, and I want you to look at your neighbor, two neighbors, and say, "You are a light." Come on, you're prophesying. It's the word of God. If you're a believer, you are the light. So I am the light, right? And what does that mean? You're the light of the world. And to Tim's point, that story is absolutely amazing. What would have happened if that light did not go across the street and share the gospel, and years and years and years later, you guys have an associate pastor because this unknown person went and shared the light of Jesus, right? So whether you're coming to minister to school kids with us or not, each one of you can be a light in your everyday situation. So that is the main point that I want us all to walk away with, is every single one of us are a light. And if we're a light, we're a light every day, every single day, right? And so we often So most of the time, being a light is very mundane, and you don't even notice really that you're being a light, right? Kind of like that story that Tim just shared. She had no idea. She was just being faithful, wanted to love her neighbor and share the gospel. Most of the time, like, she probably has no idea, that she does now because she's probably in heaven, but the fruit that came from that simple little meeting. And so I would just want to encourage us, as we're being a light in our everyday situation, just remember, it's probably going to feel very small. It's probably going to be mundane, but the word of God is truth, and we are all lights in a very dark world. Okay? Can we all agree to that? All right. So real quick, minding the gap, we can go ahead and go to the next slide. So basically, in a nutshell, what Minding the Gap does is each week in public schools right here in Grandview, South Kansas City, our volunteers, our team of volunteers, goes in to tutor and mentor students, host an after-school Bible club, and encourage teachers so that students become better readers today and discover hope for tomorrow. So basically, we do that by our three main pillars. We have three pillars of our ministry, our expressions of ministry as Minding the Gap. The first is building bridges. It is a tutoring and a mentoring program. I'm not going to go into the statistics today, but if you know anything about the education system, in America right now, we are in a crisis when it comes to reading and literacy. If you're not reading at a proficient level by the end of third grade, you're four times as likely to drop out of high school. If you drop out of high school, they commit 75% of crimes in America, and you can go right down the line and pretty much project the outcome of a child's life based upon that third grade reading score. That is not an overestimation. That is just fact. So as believers, we want to go in and we want to be a practical solution, or help be a practical solution to this issue. So building bridges is how we do that. It's a tutoring and mentoring program. It's a 1 hour a week where you come and you just read with a student. You don't have to have an education background. We give you all that training. The next thing we do is the 180 Club. This is a Bible club where we actually preach the gospel in public schools. Let me say that again. We preach the gospel in public elementary schools, and we've never received any pushback over the last 5 years from a single teacher. And even non-believers are super excited that we are trying to change these students' life with the gospel of Jesus. You can leave it on those three pillars. Appreciate it. And so we have written an entire curriculum based upon that Action Bible. The Action Bible is a graphic novel version of the Bible. It has all of the main stories. What I love about it, it's actually orthodox. If you know anything about children's Bibles, sometimes they're a little bit creative in their sharing of the stories, but this one is an orthodox version of the Bible. And Tim and Rebecca have been extremely, like, they basically have written this curriculum, so they're going to receive lots of rewards in heaven. But we have made an entire curriculum, Old Testament, New Testament, throughout the entire school year based upon this Action Bible. And then the last thing we do is called the Extra Mile, and that is basically wrapping around the schools so we can be a blessing and serve the goals of the principals. And so what that means is we'll buy a Chick-fil-A lunch each year for all of the staff at the schools, usually during Teacher Appreciation Week, just to let them know that we love them, that the community sees them and appreciates their work. We'll do attendance parties in order to increase attendance with ice cream to bribe the kids to come to school. And so we just call that the Extra Mile, all of the little events that we do for supporting students and teachers. So you can go to the next slide. I'm gonna give you just some numbers, kind of what we've done last year. Last year with our Building Bridges program, we had 27 individuals that would take 1 hour a week to go and serve and teach a student how to read. And we served about 150 children. So what's really important about what we do is we're not coming in there reinventing the wheel. We try and work directly with the school staff and administration. So we try and get the work that the students are already doing, because most of our people are not trained teachers. We just care. And so we just, usually what that means is you will sit and listen to a student read, you'll read to them. Some principals like for us to be in the class during reading time with the teacher and just help them, like work with a few kids. And some principals want us to work individually, one-on-one with those students. So there's opportunities for both of those ways to serve. And all said, we served about 150 students with our Building Bridges program last year. Next slide. So with our extra mile, we meet once a month with the principals and staff of this school, and we try and help them accomplish their goals. And pretty much every principal can boil their goals down to these three main things. First is increased attendance. If students aren't in class, obviously they can't learn. So we try and come up with clever ways to increase and encourage attendance. The next is higher literacy rates or higher test scores. I just mentioned the literacy crisis. So every school, whether it's a suburban school, a private school, public school, inner city school, every school district across the nation, and it's in every state, it's a crisis across the board. So there's not one group doing it better than another. Like, it is a literacy crisis. And so every school wants help to increase their literacy scores. And then the last thing is improve staff morale. Being a teacher is hard, right? I was talking to Alicia today, and being a para and getting punched in the face and all of these different things, like, that is difficult work. And so we want these teachers, these principals, to know that we care and that we see what they're doing and it's valuable, so we want them to feel that love. So last year we served about 250 staff members and about 400 students through our Extra Mile program. Next slide, please. So with 180 Club, last year our numbers were down a little bit because we need volunteers. We didn't have as many volunteers last year, and so we've had a cap at all of the schools that we serve in. We cannot take more students because we want to do things well. We would actually rather stay a little bit smaller and do things to the best of our ability rather than get really big and be in like 45 different schools and have an awesome newsletter. But if you do a little bit of digging, it's not nearly as great as that newsletter makes it sound. So we try and stay just a little bit smaller and try and do things well. But that being said, like, think about this for a second. In your own backyard, 225 individual students came through our 180 Club last year, once, twice, or all year long. And the first time you come to 180 Club, we give you an action Bible. Whether we see you one time or for 40 weeks during the school year, you're walking away with the Word of God. And so you're getting the Bible into your lives, into your family's lives. So 225 individual students came to our club last year, and we had an average attendance of 130. So think about that. The average church in America is about 50 to 60 people. So we have a mega church in public elementary schools, right in your own backyard. Who would have thought? Like, that's kind of funny, but like, for real, like, think about that for a second. Your average church is 50 people across America. We have almost three times the size of that, two and a half size in a public school. Like, think about that. The gospel is going forth in public schools. I can't get over that. Last thing is, anybody that's ever done any kind of children's ministry, you can identify with this one. I'm confident to say that out of all those students, especially the ones that were there every week, at some point they raised their hands to accept Jesus. Now, are they truly saved? I don't know, because if you've done children's ministry, you'll know that after Sunday school, you give the altar call. Who wants to give your life to Jesus? I do. You do that Wednesday night or next Sunday morning. Who wants to give your life to Jesus? The same exact kids will raise their hand. So, do they understand it? I don't know, but you know the beauty part about what we do, the beautiful thing, is we are consistent. We're gonna come back next week. We're gonna share the gospel. Next week, the week after that, the month after that, next school year, and for five school years, we have been, if there is school, we are having Bible club during that week. So, do they understand the salvation message that particular week? I don't know. However, at some point, the Word of God never comes back void, right? That's actually in the Bible. And it accomplishes everything that it's set out to do. So we're just faithful to share the word and allow the Lord to do the increase. So if we could go to the next slide. So you just heard the numbers from our three pillars. Real quick, and I'm going to invite, go ahead and bring up Dorothy and Marlene and Bob and Lynn. And after I do this slide, we are going to turn it over to the people who actually really do this work and are amazing. So last year, we served five different elementary schools, four in Hickman Mills, which is the district that we're in right here in South Kansas City, one in Grandview. We served, all said and done, about 750 students. We served about 250 staff members. We started an ELL, or an English Language Learning Tutoring Program last year. A gal that got super excited about what we're doing grew up as a missionary in Japan, and she understands what it's like to be a foreigner in a foreign land. And in our school district, there is an amazing amount of refugee families coming from not only Latin America, but from Ukraine, from Africa, and from a lot of places that you've never heard of, but they are coming to our schools. And so she heard this, and she started recruiting Spanish speakers. And so we actually started a tutoring program so we can actually minister to the refugee. And so that, obviously, the Lord tells us to care about the stranger. So that's obviously extremely biblical and extremely needed at this time. So we started that last year. This is one of my favorite things. We started what we called the Minding the Gap experience. So we usually don't do anything over the summer. That's when I go raise money and try and get volunteers. But this year we thought, why don't we try and start a program that will offer kids a one-day experience where they try something that they have never tried before, most likely would never have access to, and probably couldn't afford it if they had that access. And so this year, our first one, it was kind of an experiment. I love the game of hockey. If you guys know me at all, I love ice hockey. My kids play ice hockey. And so we thought, why don't we have a hockey camp? Right? I guarantee most of these kids have never tried hockey. So long story short, we had 40 students come and enjoy our first hockey camp. We were able to get scholarships for any of the students that wanted to continue on with a Learn to Play hockey class, an eight-week class over the summer. And we're also going to scholarship students who want to continue their hockey journey after that. And so out of those 40 kids that tried it, we had 12 kids jump into the Learn to Play hockey. And then hopefully we have probably five or six that's going to continue from there. But we hope to do like a sailing class, a golf class, and just different types of things to give kids experiences that they would never have a chance to experience. And then last thing, we were nominated for the Grandview Chamber of Commerce Nonprofit of the Year last year. We did not win, but this year we're hopeful that, you know, we should win it. I think we should win it, especially with such amazing people here that serve with us. So we're just going to take a couple of minutes, and then I'll come back up and close, about sharing some of the experiences with real-life people who go into the classroom and go so into the life of a student. What I said earlier, that we're all called to be lights. Most of the time, being a light is very mundane, and a lot of times it's very difficult. Like, we have some amazing stories about what God does through our ministry, and sometimes you're just blown away, but there's a very real aspect that sometimes you leave and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't think they heard anything, and I don't even know if I want to come back next week. So, but these guys do, and we're making a big difference. So if everybody does their little tiny part in this story, then we have 130 kids coming every single week to Bible Club. We're serving 250 students or 250 teachers, but it takes all of us doing just a little bit. So with that being said, Mr. Bob, our beloved Bob. Share with us.
My dad was an avid fisherman and hunter, and he didn't just go hunting. When he went, it became an epic event. And by that I mean, he would tell the tale later to whoever would listen again and again and again. And so I kind of gathered through the years, particularly after I got to work here with Minding the Gap, that maybe, just maybe, that gifting of being able to tell a tale had been given to me. And so, as you well know, there are wonderful Bible stories with incredible storyline that we have taken advantage of, and I have the privilege of being able to do that, to be able to tell the tale for the children. And it's so neat when you walk down the aisle of the school and the kids run up to you and throw their arms around your legs and give you this incredible hug and let you know you're appreciated by the stuff you do. And yeah, it's fun to be a storyteller.
Thank you, Bob. Bob actually double dips. He serves in a couple of, actually triple dips. He is like our main Bible teacher, so everybody can do it. If you want to go ahead and go to the next slide while they're speaking, these are some of the kids that we serve. Awesome pictures here. And I wanted to say one thing before I brought up Marlene, and Bob I think was going to mention this, but you guys, this church has an inheritance really in what we're doing. First of all, you guys donate money to the mission that we do. But Grace Point started a Bible club in Warford Elementary right over off of Red Bridge Road 25, 30 years ago. And this is just a continuation of that. So who would have thought the people that initially started that Bible club, it's going to be going on 20 some years later. And not only that, it's growing. And we have a mega church now, thanks to their labor. So thank you, Grace Point. And this is Marlene. Y'all know Marlene.
Good morning, Grace Point. I help Bob in the Bible Club at Compass, but I also have been tutoring the last several years at different elementaries. And this last school year, I had the privilege to tutor a third grade boy at Irvin Elementary every week, except for the 2 weeks I was in Uganda. His teacher requested that we work on sight words and on vowel and consonant blends, as he was struggling with these at the beginning of the year. In the Minding the Gap resource box that is available for us to use as tutors, mentors, there's a box of sight word flashcards, probably over 100, at least 100, probably more. At the beginning of the school year, he knew some, but not many. We worked on them every week. He also had difficulty with the TH sound, you know, like the, or other, or mother, or them. Whether it was at the beginning or in the middle of the word, pronouncing it as a D. So we had lots, we had the, we had mother, father, another. So we worked on that one extensively each week as well. But we also had a little fun. We played either Uno or Spotted each week too. By the end of the school year, there were only a few words that he did not know and pronounce correctly on the first try, even the words containing the TH blend. Both of the last 2 weeks that I was at school to tutor him, he asked if I would be back next year and if we could work again together. Hopefully, I will be able to tutor him again this year as a fourth grader. And this is one of those children who, if I had not been working with him in third grade, probably would not be reading well enough at the end of third grade when he advanced to fourth grade to be able to be called a proficient reader, because he did not know those sight words. So this is one of those kids that we ministered to this last year. Thank you.
Amen. And honestly, like, I would believe in this ministry because that's why I want to do this. That's why I'm giving my life to it. But, like, it is not so grandiose. Like, these stories, actually, I take that, but they're grandiose. Like, a kid that did not know these sight words now, next year, is going to go in and be able to know these sight words. Like, that is amazing. And it's just because Marlene come and worked with him for an hour a week and had fun doing it. Am I right? Okay. All right. And now we have Dorothy. Dorothy's been with us for like a little over 2 years now, right? Yeah, and she mentors, she does Bible Club, and she's gonna share with you.
Hi, everybody. I was heard about Minding the Gap and was interested, and so I believe it was Mary Lou Beeson who invited me to what they call Minding the Gap Connect, which they have every 2 months. And all the volunteers that minister at the different schools show up and share. And so that's what solidified it, that I wanted to join. And at the table out in the hall, there is something about what we have called a kickoff luncheon, which is next Saturday in Lee's Summit, 12 to 1:30. It's free, and it's a great way to find out about Minding the Gap, whether or not you end up serving. Minding the Gap opened my eyes to the elementary schools and what the teachers deal with to some degree. I'm sure not all of it. They really work hard, and they really need encouragement, and that's part of what we do. We write notes encouraging them, thanking them, appreciating them. And also it opened my eyes to the number of Christians in public schools. The director of elementary schools, who's over all the principals, is a believer, and the principals at four of the schools we work at, I don't know about the newest one, are all believers, and there are other believers there in the school. So they are working there as a mission in addition to a job. A lot of these children come from neighborhoods where there's crime. I was tutoring, mentoring a fourth grader one year, and he told me about a shooting near his grandmother's house, and he said, but my older sister has a taser, and she said, if anybody comes in, you just aim it at their neck. And it's like, I didn't grow up like that. But the Bible clubs are great. Like Zach said, there are some weeks it's challenging with behavior and paying attention, but there's other weeks it's really neat. And I agree with what Bob said. The most important thing, or the most special thing, is when we walk into the school and the kids run up and give us hugs. So anyway, one verse that I saw this morning in my quiet time was Matthew 18:14. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones perish. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Dorothy. So Dorothy was telling me last week, because we do a prayer meeting, by the way, every Tuesday here at Grace Point at 9 a.m., so come and join us for prayer. But I asked her to share a testimony, and she's like, well, I don't have a great testimony like all the miracles and just some of the other people have. And I said, well, what about when you show up at school, same thing that Bob just said, and they see you, these kids see you, Miss Dorothy, and they run over and hug you, and they're so excited to see you. How's that for a testimony? Like, that is exactly why we do what we do. And if you don't serve with us, you should just come and watch that, because it is just really awesome. All right, last but not least, Miss Lynn.
So I've been able to serve with 180 Club, the After School Bible Club, for 2 years now. And last year I started out with the third, fourth, and fifth graders. And we go into the cafeteria at the beginning because the school provides them with a meal for their after-school program. And I notice this commotion happening. So there's this fifth grade girl. She was just chewing out one of our little guys, our little third grader. She was so upset with him. She was yelling at him. And so I walked over like, hey, what's happening? And she said, he is calling my little brother a name. He should not be doing that. That is not right. I was like, okay. So I look at the kid. I look at this little boy, and I said, did you call him a name? And he's like deer in the headlights, and he's just shaking his head. He's like, no. You know, he was scared, right? He didn't know what to say, right? And so he's denying it, and he's just guilty. Like, you can just look at him and tell, like, you're so guilty. Bless your heart. So anyway, I told the girl, I said, oh, thank you for being such a good big sister. I'm a big sister. I understand. Thank you for standing up for your brother. But I'll talk to him. And so we leave the cafeteria. We go to class. And just so happened that our story was about Joseph. And I think Tim was teaching this class. So we hear about Joseph and how Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, right? And all these terrible things happen to Joseph and all these good things happen to Joseph. But at the end, he chooses to forgive his brothers. And so part of the activity at the end of hearing this story is there's listening prayer. And so we just take time to pray. Who do I need to forgive? Right? So we have some time to hear from the Lord. Who do I need to forgive? And then the next question is, who do I need to ask for forgiveness? And so after this time of listening prayer, I just kind of talking to the kids, and I look at this little boy, and he said, I need to apologize. I have to go apologize to that boy. And I said, okay, I think that's a good idea. And I said, do you want me to go with you? He's like, no, I need to do it by myself. I said, okay. I said, can I pray for you that God will give you courage? Because it takes a lot of courage to do that. And so I prayed for him that God would give him courage to go and apologize to this kid. And I kept thinking about this boy all week. I even asked our home group to pray for him as well, that he would have the courage to do that. And so the next time I saw him at Bible Club, we're in the cafeteria, I came up to him, I said, did you get a chance to apologize? And he said, yeah, he's sitting right here. And so he had apologized to the kid, they were friends again. And I just thought, what a beautiful picture of God's word being applied right then to this kid's life, right? And I thought, wow, what incredible lessons that these kids are learning, but also the grown-ups are learning. And so I would ask all of you, as you pray for children, would you pray for the seeds that have been planted to grow, right? And then also, would you just take some time to see what is it that the Lord is telling you? What is it he's asking you to do to obey? And we'll pray that you have courage to obey as well.
Right. Amen. Thank you, Lynn. Okay, I am definitely aware of the time. So if we can go to the next slide, we're going to close it, and then we're going to end with just a couple of small group questions. I'm imagining the small group might be cut a little bit shorter today, but we did want to give time for that. How can you be involved? Well, first of all, you can come out and hang out with us. We have a whole booth set up. This card, we have this card out there as well, so you don't necessarily need to get your phone out if you're interested. But come and talk to us. You can donate. We are actually getting ready to buy those Action Bibles that I was talking about. So we're obviously raising money for Action Bibles. We're having our kickoff lunch next week. We have not decided what the menu is. So if we have a generous business person out there that wants to sponsor this lunch, you get to choose what we're having. Chick-fil-A, Chipotle, whatever your heart's desire. So we always need donations, and it costs about $20,000 a year per school that we're in. So the one-time donations are amazing to help us get the Bibles, but we also could use those $50 or $100 a month monthly partners. That's definitely a blessing too, because we are constantly buying ice cream, we're constantly buying different lunches. So if the Lord's directing you in that area, we obviously could use donations. And then if you're just interested in volunteering, like I said, we have caps on all of our Bible clubs. We couldn't take more students because we just need more people. And we had about 26, 27 mentors last year. What would that look like if we had 50? Then more students are learning how to read better. They're getting better connections with caring adults. And so if you're interested in volunteering, we ask for a once a week commitment for the tutoring and mentoring piece. But with Bible Club, we would love it if you could come once a week. But even if you can come once a month, like, we have need of you, because the more people we have in that classroom, we're able to break up into smaller groups and really hear their story. Last thing, Dorothy mentioned it, but we're having our kickoff lunch this Saturday. The one, if you wanted to buy the lunch, you can do that. But if you're even a tiny bit interested, or you want to hear more about what we're doing, I want to invite you to this lunch. No strings attached. Just come and hear more about what we're doing. We invite all of the principals from the schools to come and give testimonies about the work that we're doing. So it's just a really good time to get more of a broad picture of what we do. So as we get ready to close, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll do our small groups, and then I'm assuming that Tim or Eric, you guys will come up. Okay. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll break up into our small groups. So Father, I just want to thank you for the work that you're doing, and just how it's surprising to me when I look at these numbers and the what we did last year, what you did, Lord. I'm just want to be in awe of that, and I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful for the amazing people that you have called to serve with us. Lord, it's just so awesome to be provoked by their faithfulness. And Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing in the lives of these teachers and students. And Lord, we ask for this year, for 25-26, that your word would run swiftly, that it would be glorified in our schools and in the hearts and the minds of these students and these teachers. And we just look forward to being back here next year with amazing, amazing testimonies. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. So, next slide is the guided questions. So back to the "you are the light of the world." I think that we have it. Yeah. You're the light of the world, right? Every person is a light. So the first question is, how are you being a light? What are you doing to be a light in your situation? Well, I'm a teacher. So, well, how are you being a light in the teacher? And it doesn't have to be a theological, a long, drawn-out answer, and literally we just have a couple of minutes. But I want you to ponder on this. How are you being a light in a dark world? The second question is, what part of the message resonates with you? Like Tim's story, Lynn's story, what part resonated with you? Third, do you feel led to be involved with Minding the Gap? And we're just gonna cut it off at three since our slide man is not up there. So let me just recap these questions. Hey, thank you. All right, number four, how will you apply this message this week? So really just focus on those first three since we're really trying to wrap up. So in what ways am I a light to the world? What part of the message resonated with me? And then do you feel led to be involved with Minding the Gap? So go ahead and talk about that for a few minutes. Make sure you come and say hi to us out there at that booth. And we love you, and I can't believe it's already been a year since I've been here. Time goes fast.